Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. Are you tired of struggling day after day to reach your financial goals with no success? Do you want to know how to use God's Word as a roadmap to reach your financial destiny? Then this is the show for you. Your host is none other than Sherry Gray, one of America's leading financial coaches. As a host and financial coach, Sherry has helped thousands of individuals and families nationwide, taking them from where they are to where they need to be financially. For the next hour, you will be armed with the knowledge to achieve victory in your finances. You will hear firsthand how Sherry uses biblical principles to teach you how to budget, eliminate debt, and save for your future. And Sherry does it all with a mom's touch, not telling you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And now, here's your host, the Money Mom, Sherry Gray.
Welcome to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and the scripture for this show is Mark chapter 12, verse 13 through 17. And it says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Oh, I'm sorry. Take that back. Mark chapter 12, verse 13 through 17 says, later the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Jesus saw through their hypocrisy and said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin and I'll tell you. When they handed it to him, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. His reply completely amazed them. And this scripture is so fitting for this show. This is called Politics and Finances. Will the Fiscal Cliff Affect You? And a lot of what's going to happen in the next couple of months is all about taxes. So I thought that was a perfect scripture for this show. And I'm honored to have with me this hour none other than my husband, a political expert in his own right, Devon Gray. Thanks for joining me, Devon.
It's good to be here. In my own right.
Well, you know, we can't say, you know, who you work for and all that kind of stuff because, you know, you're not here as a representative of, you know, your company, but you have been in the political arena for how many years now?
16 years.
Okay, so as long as we've lived here in Prince William County, he's been in politics. So I can honestly say he's an expert, and he's worked on campaigns. So you can tell what you've done politically.
Well, I've worked on three presidential campaigns. Worked as a lobbyist, and I currently work in as a manager of political affairs at an association here downtown in Washington, D.C. So been around, been on a few shows on C-SPAN, on other shows talking about politics. So been around a while.
Yep, and so that's the reason I knew you'd be the perfect person to talk about this because a lot of it, the financial stuff, I understand, and even some of that is this with especially when it comes to, you know, Congress and then passing bills and things. It's a little bit above my head and outside of my level of expertise. So when a subject matter is outside of my realm of expertise, I always seek the guidance of someone who is an expert in the area. And in this case, it would be my husband, Devon Gray. So thank you again for joining me.
You lucked out.
He could have said no, but he did. Did you have a choice, though? No.
No. But it's a pleasure.
Well, in preparation for the show, I did a little research. I've heard a little bit about the fiscal cliff, like on television, in a newspaper, but I really didn't have a full grasp of what it was, so I wanted to have at least a working knowledge of what the fiscal cliff was. And I guess this term was coined, fiscal cliff, by Ben Bernanke.
Mm-hmm.
He's the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people feel like that's a kind of extreme term for what's going to happen, what may happen. But in any case, that's what everybody's coining it as, the fiscal cliff. And I just want to give you a little definition about what it is. And it's referring to, or the audience, because you already know what it is, Yvonne, but it's referring to the effect of a number of laws, which, if unchanged, could result in tax increases, spending cuts, and a corresponding reduction in the budget deficit beginning in January 2013. These laws include tax increases due to the expiration of the quote-unquote Bush tax cuts and across-the-board spending cuts under the Budget Control Act of 2011. Now, when I read that, I was like, okay, it's like reading Greek. I don't know what any of that means. So can you explain exactly what the fiscal cliff means in your opinion?
Well, let me take the listener, take everybody back just a little bit about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
As far as the Budget Control Act was concerned. At the end of 2011, kind of November-ish going into January of 2012, I'm going to say a term that probably some people may remember, the super committee. And basically what the super committee was supposed to be was this big committee made up of Democrats and Republicans from the House and Senate working together to try to create a budget deal to handle our fiscal problems. We're about $16 trillion in debt as a nation. And really, this entire whole thing was only supposed to be cutting $1.2 trillion of that $16 trillion. So it's not like this is the end-all, be-all.
Right.
But when the super committee didn't do its job, it wasn't able to come to an agreement for political reasons, pretty much, political and philosophical, but they're kind of the same if you ask me. But in February of last year, they didn't come to a conclusion, so they kind of kicked the can down the road. They said, well, we can't solve this now. But in order to avert this big government shutdown that was coming, mm-hmm. we'll just go on ahead and extend everything for until the end of the year, and then we'll deal with it at the end of the year. Well, guess what? The end of the year is coming.
Right.
So they still haven't dealt with it. And so what's supposed to happen as a part of this is that if they don't come to an agreement, all that $1.2 trillion is still going to kick in. Whether they come to an agreement or not,
mm-hmm.
it just would be done across the board. We're talking about a 5% cut across the board, whether it's in defense spending or what we call domestic spending, which would be dealing with things like your health care, Medicare, so even in the Social Security area. I don't think Social Security is actually exempt from that, but there's other areas where domestic spending, education, all these kinds of things would be drastically cut. Well, I shouldn't say drastically. It's a 5% cut. But across the board, you know, when you're telling people you got to cut, and you got to cut 5%, that can be a hurtful thing to some folks. So that's just kind of where we're headed. When we talk about this fiscal cliff,
yeah.
that cliff comes to an end on December 31st. It's kind of we're running out of room on that cliff
right.
simply because of the time. But that was something that put into place so that if politics took over and people couldn't make a decision,
mm-hmm.
the law itself will make the decision.
So now it's going to be in the hands of Congress, I guess, to, oh, Lord, help us, to either extend these tax cuts in or let them expire.
Yeah, exactly.
December 31st, 2012.
Exactly.
It's amazing. I was just reading a little bit about, it's a combination of the Bush tax cuts that have been extended, like I said, through the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
as well as the Budget Control Act. And I just read a little bit about the Bush tax cuts. And I guess it was a combination of two different acts. And it basically, a few acts. And it included several tax and economic-related measures intended to have a new stimulatory effect. I guess it was supposed to be put more money in our paychecks so that we could spend more and stimulate
right.
the economy and all that.
Exactly.
And it also included a reduction in the FICA payroll tax. And, again, it was extended, like you said, through President Obama and Congress came to an agreement, and it's set to expire in a couple months, at the end of the year, December 31st of this
yeah.
year. So
looking at roughly 45 days until this happens. And if you live in this area and you're a defense contractor, this has a more of a dramatic effect on you, because obviously if there are cuts, mm-hmm. we're talking about defense cuts, and obviously one of the main things that the Defense Department spends money on is with contractors. So
yeah.
let's just say you were a company that provided transportation to a base, a local base. Maybe you provide cars, like the rental car companies, whatever. This could affect you if you have a government contract with a local base or something on that order, or if you're a defense contractor in the IT area, or just different areas of defense contracting. So mm-hmm. when they talk about the effects on the economy and how it can hurt the average everyday family,
right.
it's because some people may very well lose their jobs December 31st as a result of Congress not doing its job, quite frankly,
right.
and doing it in a way that is responsible but yet effective in trying to trim the budget. Because, like I said, we're talking about $1.2
trillion mm-hmm.
as opposed to a $16 trillion deficit. It's literally a
drop in the bucket.
So, you know, before
oh
they let
gosh.
You think that this is the thing that's going to solve everything,
right.
it doesn't.
Right.
And that's just the way that is.
Wow. Well, right now we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Hold Us Together by Matt Mayer. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
It don't have a job. Don't pay your bills. Won't buy you a home in Beverly Hills. Won't fix your life. He'll follow you these steps. Ain't the love of the land of the God. But it's so you.
Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. I apologize for the break there. Something is going on with my studio online, and it would not let me speak to you. I apologize for that. Having a little bit of technical difficulties. But before we go on, I want to remind everyone of my workshop this coming Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be a teleseminar, which means no matter where you are in the world, in the country, you can participate in this life-changing workshop. And I talk about everything from how I went from being on welfare to how now I am a multi-property owner. And so I go over a whole gamut of things in this workshop. So you definitely want to tune into that. It includes four sessions. The first session is Where's Your Treasure? The second session is Counting the Cost, talking about budgeting. The third session is Debt to Debt Free. And the fourth session is called Legacy. If you want to register for this workshop, all you have to do is submit an $8 payment through PayPal using my email address, sherrygray@themoneymom.org, or you can do it old school way. You can email me as well with sherrygray@themoneymom.org, and I will send you a registration form, and you can mail the form and the payment to the address listed on the form. All right? And I also just want to remind everyone that there will be another free workshop coming up where I spoke at last month. I won't be speaking this month, but it's the Edward Jones Free Investment Seminar. It's always awesome. It's always free to the public. And it's at Expectations Restaurant in Gainesville, Virginia. And if you want more information about how to register for the December event, all you have to do is to email me as well. And it's usually the first Wednesday of every month at 6:30 p.m. So very good. Well, this hour we're talking about what Mr. Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, has quote-unquote called the fiscal cliff. And a lot of people, you know, say that's a kind of an extreme name, but that's the one that's stuck in my head of what could happen if the Congress does not come to a conclusion by December 31st and extend the tax cuts from the Bush era that have been extended up until this point. So, and I'm so glad to have with me my husband, Devon Gray, who is a political expert, at least to me anyway. So, no, he's been in the field for a lot of years, 16 years, and he is definitely someone, a go-to person that if I want to know anything about politics, especially of how it relates to money, he's a person I always ask. And last time we kind of touched a little bit about the Bush tax cuts, and again, this is, you know, information that I don't know. I know that I have basic knowledge of it, but I need someone like Devon here to kind of explain it to me. And what the information that I gathered, it says the Bush era tax cuts were. Did I click on the right thing? Sorry. It was a combination of a couple of bills, a couple of acts. And, yeah, here we go. So the act was called the quote-unquote Bush tax cuts were the Economic Growth and Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2001 and the Jobs and Growth Tax Relief Reconciliation Act of 2003 are known as the Bush tax cuts. Income taxes would have returned to Clinton administration era rates in 2011, again, had Congress not passed the law. The act also extends some provisions from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. The act also includes, like I said before, several other tax and economy-related measures intended to have a new stimulatory effect, most notably an extension of unemployment benefits and a one-year reduction in the FICA payroll tax as part of a compromise between President Obama and Congress. So that's it in a nutshell. And I didn't know that that also included the unemployment benefits extension. I had no idea about that, but interesting. So the whole thing, I guess this was in 2010, all those Bush tax cuts and unemployment extension and all that rolled into one is what's called the Tax Relief Unemployment Insurance Reauthorization and Job Creation Act of 2010. Yeah. It's so many. Why are these acts, why are the names so long?
Well, if you notice, like with the ones that you're talking about, you know, the two acts that basically came together to form that Bush tax cut,
right.
You know, we always use the acronyms for those, like EGTRA and JIGRA. are the two big ones that, you know, we kind of go by that as the and you know, there's plenty more acronyms out there, trust me, that that could just confuse everybody to death and or bore them to death or put them to sleep.
Prior military, I know you guys use a lot of acronyms.
Yes, we did. But I mean, it's kind of, you know, there's a lot of things that are out there that were passed in order. If you notice, a lot of those acts, the first one, ICTRA, was about, I think it was like 2001, or 2000 or something on that, and the other one was like in 2003. These were basically stimulus packages to try to give our economy a little jolt. Even before President Bush got there, the economy had started to slow down a little bit. And then, obviously, after 9/11, it just really slowed down. And then some of these things, like I said, JIGTRA was the opportunity. It was about jobs and growing jobs. And so it was supposed to be about jobs and growing jobs. And it kind of was supposed to put a little shot in the arm to the economy, get us back up and running, and cap some tax rates and try to encourage people to do things like to purchase more. And that's usually what your stimulus packages are out there for. But
right.
You know, in the end, with all of these different things that are out there, they're all economically related. And just to let your listeners know how this kind of bakes back home, I remember reading the other day about one contractor who was concerned about her job because she worked for a defense contractor. And the thing she was saying was, you know, we've been knowing this might come. We've been saving up for a year to prepare for it. Mm. I thought that was pretty interesting. She said, you know, obviously you need your job and, you know, whatever, but we've been putting a little bit back aside to prepare for this sort of stormy day, and now we're 45 days away, so, you know, you think about that.
Wow.
It makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. And so we've been kind of enjoying, I think for us, because for me at least, it's been so long since those acts were first passed. 2001 was the earliest one, and I think at this point, a lot of people probably didn't even know that we were under a tax cut. You know, you get so used to having that money in your check and your paycheck every time, every couple weeks, whatever it is, and you forget that we are under tax cuts. And it's almost like the tax cuts have become the norm. So if something should change, I think people will be a little – it's going to be a little
It would be an adjustment. People. And that's why some people are saying that this could cause us to have a recession, because obviously – if there's any fluctuation in somebody's paycheck, they're going to spend less. And if they're spending less, the economy eventually slows down because consumers control the economy for a large portion of it.
Right.
But, you know, tax cuts are only as good as, you know, the cost of living staying down. If things go up, whether it's gas or whether it's food, which have all gone up, and then you got to consider fees, like if you have tolls on your roads or different things like that, that eats those tax cuts up real fast.
Right.
And the problem is that a tax cut costs money. It actually costs money because the government is thinking there's going to be revenue coming in. But when you cut the taxes, that cuts the amount of revenue coming in. So you only have one of two options. You either cut spending or you raise more taxes.
Right.
And so what you're seeing right now is the fact that, yeah, these tax cuts are out there. You would see them if they were gone. You'd feel them. But they cost money, too. They do cost money.
Yeah, I was just reading a little bit about the provisions of that act, the extension of the Bush tax cuts in 2010 by President Obama and the Congress, and it includes a lot of different taxes, like the FICA payroll tax, the child tax credit threshold tax. It's a lot of, not even just in your regular payroll taxes. It's a lot of different things that we use as credit when we, you know, submit our 1040s to the IRS, our tax returns. A lot of these are tax credits, and we've become really accustomed to having them. So it will be interesting to see if they don't. Hopefully, Congress will do something. I don't know what they will do, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Well, right now, I mean, as we speak, they're obviously working and negotiating. The big thing, just so your listeners can kind of see what's going on here, is that The biggest problem we're dealing with are with these tax cuts. Mm-hmm. Basically, the Republican Party wants to extend all the tax cuts. The Democrats want to only extend the tax cuts that deal with the quote-unquote middle class, which is under 250, well, actually 249,000 and lower,
right.
Which covers the folks that they're saying they want to cover. Either way, it still costs money.
Right.
It's going to cost money if we continue tax cuts. But you know, given the nature of what we're dealing with here, we're dealing with an economy that's still trying to get on their feet. People are still looking for jobs.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are still trying to adjust to the fact that we had this drought this year, and even our produce has gone up. All these different things have happened. And the fact that Congress, quite frankly, hasn't done its job over the years, regardless of what party is involved in this. And, you know, for the listeners out there, it's sort of like if you think about Noah's Ark. I mean, Noah knew one day there was going to be a flood, so he kept building. And one day that flood eventually came. Well, the flood is coming only because of the fact that, you know, we know it's coming. The problem is nobody built an ark.
Right.
And so we're all kind of under this problem now. But it's a man-made thing. And we go through this every year, it seems now, where it's either
it
a budget shutdown, it's a sequester, and it can cause stress on people if you don't listen to it and get educated about it, because otherwise you're sitting in there and you're listening at this and you're hearing people say the sky is falling,
right?
And it can begin to cause you some stress. But I will say to the folks who are out there, get educated and find out what it all is about. What is at stake here? And there are some things at stake, but you know, there's some things we do still have some power. Number one, we serve a great God.
Right.
But even more than that, he gives us the wisdom to understand how to save, how to do different things that can help us get through these things. They'll eventually come to some kind of conclusion. I don't know if it'll be permanent.
Right.
Nobody knows that, but it'll probably be another temporary fix that kicks it down the road another 6 to 12 months. But, you know, eventually, you know, if you got a faucet leak, eventually that faucet leak's going to get to the point where it's got to be fixed or it's going to cause some problems.
Really, exactly. Well, right now we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Believe by Elliot Yameen. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few.
You say that everything is over. I say that we can find a way. I'm here and you can think it over. I'll keep waiting. I'll keep waiting. I say there must be a solution, some way that we can both agree. Why should it take a revolution just for you to talk to me? And it all comes down to what you think. Because one mind changes everything. And I believe that breathing makes you free. And I believe that love, our destiny. And I believe in things I cannot see. Like faith and joy and peace and hope and harmony. In my world,
Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray. And this hour, we're talking about politics and finances, and specifically about what Mr. Ben Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve, calls the upcoming fiscal cliff, possibly, if Congress can get it together and do something about the budget and the taxes and everything that affects you and I. But we'll see if that happens. Before we get back to that, though, I want to let everyone know that I do have a giveaway this week. I have actually partnered with other bloggers. I Love to Gossip, Crazy for Keurig, New England Coupon Savers, and Katie's Crazy Savings to bring you this great giveaway of a brand new Keurig Platinum B70 single cup brewer. I have always wanted one of these for myself, and especially share with my students in my at my workshop, definitely. But if you enter, this is what you have a chance to win: the Keurig Platinum B70 single cup brewer, which is a cinnamon red color. It's a single cup home brewing system for use with patented K cups. One touch control panel, blue backlit LCD display, digital clock, programmable on and off button. 5 brew size options, adjustable brew temperature, removable drip tray. You have the works with this. The giveaway has actually begun. It began yesterday, but it goes through this Friday, November 16th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. One winner will be chosen at random and contacted via email. The winner has 72 hours to respond. If the winner doesn't respond in 72 hours, a new winner will be chosen. And all you have to do to enter to win is to go to my blog, themoneymomdeals.blogspot.com, and search using the keyword Keurig, that's K-E-U-R-I-G, for details. All right, awesome. So last session we were talking about the Bush tax cuts, and I want to talk a little bit more about the Budget Control Act that was passed in 2011. And let me go back to my cheat sheet because, you know, I don't know this by heart like you do, Devon.
Some of it I know by heart. Some of it. So much you can't keep up with it all.
This is foreign to me. But anyway, it says the Budget Control Act of 2011. This is the second part. We talked about the Bush tax cuts. Now we're talking about the Budget Control Act of 2011. But it's a federal statute in the U.S. that was signed into law by President Barack Obama on August 2nd, 2011. The act brought conclusion to the 2011 United States debt ceiling crisis. Oh, I remember that. Which had threatened to lead the United States into sovereign default on or about August 3rd, 2011. And the law included some complex mechanisms, such as the creation of the Congressional Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction, also known as the Super Committee.
There you go.
Who were supposed to give us options for balanced budget amendment and automatic budget sequestration. I can't say that word, but and all that in English, Devon.
Basically, the government has been trying to figure out how to control its spending. You know, if you think about something, everybody's got somebody like this in their family. You get a couple of dollars in your hand, and the first thing you want to do is spend it.
Spend it, yeah.
That's the federal government.
Oh my God.
What has happened is, and just kind of to give people an idea about that debt ceiling, basically if you think about it like this, you got a credit card. Let's say you got $5,000 on that credit card.
Right.
And you go out and go on a spending spree. Then you reach your $5,000 limit and you ask for an increase. And they give you an increase. And you ask for another and they give you that. And eventually they say, okay, we've given you all the increases we're going to give you. And you still got all these bills due. You got all these things you got due, and plus you still like to spend.
Right.
But now you can't spend anymore.
Right.
And that's what a debt ceiling is. It's basically saying you have a credit up to this amount. And because we're basically paying, at best, we're paying interest on our debt, that $16 trillion-plus dollar debt,
right,
we're not actually paying the debt. Right now what we're basically paying off is the interest of that debt. And so if you think about when you're paying for a car and you're paying extremely high interest rates, this is why you got to keep your credit good so you stay away from interest rates, big interest rates.
Yeah.
If you bought a car and you couldn't really afford it and your credit was bad, and you're paying 20% interest, if you're just paying the minimum, you're really only just paying the interest on that car. You're going to be paying that car off for by the time you pay it off over 5 years, if you keep your stuff right, you've probably paid for 3 cars. At least 2 cars, and maybe even more, just depending on how the interest rates work.
Right.
But what you've seen is the government trying to find a way to stop itself from spending, but it can't because of major, major spending increases. We've got two wars we've been fighting.
Right.
And contrary to popular belief, just because a war is over doesn't mean you're still not still spending.
Right.
The war spending still goes on. You also have what they call the domestic spending, and that was where Social Security and Medicare come into effect,
mm-hmm.
and for the states, Medicaid, because we're getting older. So you have
right.
more people
hey,
above
speak for
65.
Yourself.
Believe
I'm
it or
in
not.
Denial.
We're all getting older. And as we get older, those baby boomers, for instance, our parents, as they got older and now are starting to collect their Social Security, there's
right.
fewer of us paying for their retirement.
Right.
So what's happening is, and then you have things like recessions and different other things that come up. And so
right.
all that comes into effect as far as the revenue coming. So you've got this major spending,
mm-hmm.
but less revenue.
And I was reading a little bit, like I said, just to get basic knowledge, and it was kind of like a two-part thing with
mm-hmm.
this Budget Control Act. It was the debt ceiling was being raised, and
mm-hmm.
also there was a deficit reduction, so spending was supposed to be reduced simultaneously. And I started thinking about, it's kind of like our own budget, like if in a family did their budget and you had all this debt,
right.
And like you said, you reached the $5,000 limit on your credit card. You basically use your credit card to pay your bills.
Right.
But you keep spending more and more and more, so you need even more credit to pay those bills.
And not only that, but your interest rates. As you know, the more debt you have, the higher the interest rates.
Right.
Well, the federal government can work that way as well. If the federal government becomes a higher risk, then our credit rating goes down, just
right.
like you would for an everyday person.
Right.
So if we don't resolve some of these problems, and even if we do resolve them,
mm-hmm.
if they say knock it, you know, kick this down another 6 to 12 months, you know, if you're a creditor of the United States, you're worried. You're a little concerned, even though
yeah.
you know it might get paid, but you're thinking about this and saying,
right.
do I want to consider
pay.
That?
Is it worth the risk?
Is it worth the risk?
To give them more money. And like I said, like the thing is it increases the debt ceiling so you have more money to you know, keep up with the spending, the expenses of the federal government. But at the same time, they can't just keep spending the way they have, so they have to also not only raise the debt ceiling, but they have to also decrease their spending because you can't keep borrowing money into perpetuation forever and ever and ever
mm-hmm.
because if you do, there'll get a point where you won't even be able to pay the minimum payments on the debt. You won't even be able to pay maybe the interest rate. We won't be able to continue to borrow money for the next 50 years as a nation
right.
Because we won't even be able to pay that money back, especially if we continue to spend money at the rate we've been spending. And when they say reduce spending, I looked into that too, and it talks about, like you said, so certain programs like the DOD, even it says it may even affect Department of Homeland Security, Veterans Affairs.
Agriculture.
All these different agencies. And then I did see where they said it doesn't affect Social Security. Or
yeah, it's there are certain things, and the funny thing about it is that's the monster in the room,
okay.
and it won't even touch that. But you know, that's another thing.
It doesn't. It exempts reductions. Well, Medicare, it's a cap on how much it's reduced, and it's 2%,
mm-hmm.
and then but it doesn't affect Social Security, Medicaid, civil and military employee pay, or veterans pay. So, but still, the fact remains that we're as a nation we're spending too much. At the same time, we're going deeper into debt just to keep up with our spending.
Right.
And if you know, if you have your own household budget, if you keep spending, the one thing I tell people is like you're really spending more money than you actually have.
Yeah.
And so because you do that, you have to rely on credit to meet your expenses. And the first thing I tell people to do is to cut their expenses. And we don't.
Yeah.
But we don't, as a nation, we know that we have to eventually do something, but it's like we keep putting a Band-Aid on it and really not getting anywhere.
And people really need to be, you know, the government, including all of our members of Congress, the presidents who have been in this time, need to be really honest with the people
yeah.
and let them know, because I'm going to introduce another word that you've heard a long, long time ago, the lockbox. People don't realize that lockbox that we were going around talking about, oh, it's a surplus. It was never a surplus. It was the money that was designed to be spent on Social Security.
Mm.
It was just that all of the people who've retired now hadn't retired yet. So there was more money and revenue coming in for that particular program than there were people actually retiring. As you know, if you think about it, if you're 70 years old today, how old were you back when we were talking about that lockbox? That was 10, 11, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. You were in your 50s or maybe even late 40s or somewhere. Well, you were in your late 50s.
Right.
So now those people are retired. That money's gone because it was spoken for. There never was a surplus. Mm-hmm. There was only a surplus in the sense of it was money there, but it was already spoken for.
Wow. Now, the one thing I didn't realize with the debt ceiling, when they passed the act in 2011, it actually increased the debt ceiling by $400 billion immediately.
Yes.
And then the president has the option to further increase it by an additional $500 billion subject to congressional approval. That's a $900 billion.
It's basically, it's almost like you're saying you can increase your own credit limit, quite frankly.
Right.
It's an interesting way of doing it.
Wow. And that's just amazing, but as part of that, you're supposed to reduce spending as well, which makes sense to me because if you keep spending the way you're spending, you're going to have to keep raising the debt ceiling, I would think.
Yeah.
Because you're going to spend, and so you don't have the revenue income coming in to really pay your expenses without increasing the debt.
Yeah, I mean, in the long term of things, some of these things we can avoid for a while.
Yeah.
But eventually they're going to come to the point where we can't avoid it any longer. The thing you don't want to do is wait till that moment. And, you know, again, it's not so much we're seeing this fight now on TV between the president and the Congress.
Yeah.
Both of them they've got good people there.
Yeah.
But the problem is that I don't really think they're being honest with the American people. They're trying to win the advantage for their particular point of view on this when really there's two words they've got to introduce to the American people, and that is sacrifice.
Right.
And the fact that, the other one doesn't matter, but sacrifice is the big thing, is that it's going to take sacrifice from everyone. Now, the sequestration is actually a sacrifice built in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, eventually that 5% across the board cut through sequestration, if we don't resolve this, it could be 10, 15% down the road, not because we want to, but because we have no choice.
Right.
And that's just that's the frankness of this. And we're going to all have to get to the point where they're honest with us, and we're honest with ourselves about the things we may want, but the things we need to do for the long-term preservation of our country. I mean, it's actually a sin for us to leave that kind of a debt, that kind of a burden on our not only our children but our children's children, simply because we wanted to live good now.
Definitely, it's hard because we've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle, like as individuals and also as a government, and it's difficult for us to say, we sometimes maybe at this point we got to say no, and we can't do everything we've been doing, and it's going to come to a point where I don't know if they feel like they can borrow money forever. I just can't imagine our government being able to borrow money forever. There's got to be an end to it.
There is an end when our creditor says when they say we're not going to. I mean, we're borrowing from so many different sources. Number one, we're borrowing from ourselves, but we're also borrowing from other countries, as has been stated so many times about different other countries. But this is actually the first time, if you think about it, in history where a democracy of our stature, who has been able to do all that we've been able to do, is actually letting a communist country fund us.
Wow.
And able to live our lifestyle. The very thing we talk and preach against, which is communism and all the things that it stands for and does, we're actually letting that type of government fund our democracy, fund our freedom. Go think about that for a minute.
I don't want to think about it.
You know, it's kind of it's and but yet then we contradict ourselves by criticizing them for the things they're doing in the country, but yet we're taking their money. It's it's a very odd way of doing it. But you know, the borrower is subject to the lender.
Yeah.
And they are our lender. Mm-hmm. And if they, you know, ever get to that point where they say, and chances are they won't because of the fact that our economy and their economies are somewhat married together.
Yeah.
However, it obviously will affect other things. It definitely affects our morality.
Yeah.
It affects what we can stand up and have a voice for throughout the world. And so I am honestly believing that this is not only, we want to say it's a moral issue. It's more than just a moral, it's a sin. It's a flat-out sin. And so, you know, with any kind of sin, first of all, you got to have repentance. And the question would be, is, are we ready to repent of this? Are we ready to change our mind about what we've been doing and say, what is the sacrifice that's going to be required of each of us?
Yeah.
Either forcefully through the government or just us changing our behaviors that will then allow the government to change itself. Because right now they're not going to do it for you. They're not going to tell you we've got to increase your taxes. They're not going to tell you we have to cut something eventually.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to blame the other guy or the other gal for doing it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's where we are.
Wow. Well, right now I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Strong Enough by Matthew West. This is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom, and I'll see you in a few. Welcome back to the Money Mom Show. This is your host, Sherry Gray, and my husband and I have been talking about politics and finances, specifically how the fiscal cliff, quote-unquote, will affect you and your household, and we've been talking about what it is, the Bush tax cuts, the Budget Control Act of 2011, and how all that combined will affect us as Americans and people that live in this country, United States of America. So I have more information. There is a Congressional Budget Office, and they have two scenarios. I thought this was pretty self-explanatory, but if Congress does not extend the quote-unquote Bush tax cuts in combination with the provisions that are under the Budget Control Act of 2011 combined, this is what they project. They project that there will be lower deficits, which is good for the government, lower debt, and there will also be less spending but higher taxes. And if Congress decides to extend the tax cuts beyond December 31st, 2012, then there will be higher deficits, higher debt, but lower taxes and higher spending. So when I read that, it was almost like it's a us and them. Like it's either us or the government.
Yeah, it's pick your poison there.
In one scenario, yeah, we continue to get our tax cuts, but the debt and the deficit of the government goes up, or the debt and the deficit of the government go down and we get higher taxes. It's like, I mean, neither one is an awesome scenario.
Yeah, I mean, and just so your listeners understand with this, if they decide not to renew the tax cuts, the Bush era tax cuts, for everybody, obviously there's going to be a reduction there. There'll be a huge reduction. But if the president and the Congress, let's just say that the president gets his way,
right,
and we only do the ones that are below $250,000, we keep the tax cuts in place for them.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, if I'm not mistaken, it's like a $2 billion, maybe $2 trillion. There's still an increase to the debt. It's not like it, I mean, because you're still using, tax cuts cost money, believe it or not. They actually do cost money because there's less revenue coming in. So,
right,
you know, it depends on your way of thinking. You may say, well, of course they cost money, but in the sense of it was never the government's money anyways. But also keep in mind, there's a quote on the top of the IRS, how ironic it is there, but it's by Oliver Wendell Holmes, and it says, taxes are what we pay for a civilized society.
Wow.
And, you know, you can reduce taxes, but understand when you reduce a tax, there's a service that goes along with that.
Right.
Now, either you find a new way to provide the service or the service goes away. And the million-dollar, I should say the $16 trillion question is how can we reduce our spending but
mm-hmm.
still provide services for our communities? That is the underlying key that we have not yet addressed, because it's a hard question. It's
right.
a very hard question, but it's the kind of questions that need to be asked, because it's the kind of questions that will be answered either by this sequestration, which
right.
will be only a sample, or, you know, further down the road, like I said, you get the flood but no ark.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have the luxury of time.
Yeah.
And what we do have the luxury of is good common sense.
Mm.
We've got plenty of that. If we'll listen to the wisdom, just like the Bible teaches us, the wisdom's everywhere. There are answers to these problems, but it's like your song just said, are we strong enough?
Yeah.
Do we have the mental, I shouldn't say mental, but do we have the ability to put our ego aside long enough to say, what is the true answer? And I care about the people you care about, and you've got to care about the people I care about, and then we're going to resolve this problem.
And to think more long-term, like with your individual budget, individual expenses and finances, it's you sacrifice now, but think of the long-term. And I don't think enough people are willing to sacrifice or compromise to make sure that the government is stable, because in the end, if they're stable financially, it's going to help us as well. But like you said, with tax cuts, that means we're getting more money in our paychecks, but that also means that the government is getting less money, revenue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard question to answer,
right.
but it's, you know, it is what it is.
It's amazing.
And I liken this to, there is a cliff, but what you basically have mm-hmm. are the Republicans and Democrats fighting over the steering wheel on the car that's headed over the cliff,
mm-hmm.
and you and I are all buckled in the back seat. They have the ability to bail out at the last second. But you don't have that option, and you're going to be the ones, all of us are going to be the ones that are going to have to pay the price for this.
Right.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, what they're going to probably do is, like I said, kick this can down the road a little bit further and then start pointing the fingers. And claiming, and by the way, claiming victory.
It's but, a temporary fix. It really is. As
it's
long
a
as
temporary fix to a permanent problem.
Extending, extending, extending. At some point, we have to say uncle. And it has to be draw a line in the sand and say we can't keep going deeper into debt and we can't keep spending like there's no tomorrow. We have to really take a hard look. But it's difficult for, I know, Congress to look at their constituents and say, these are the things, the cuts we have to make. This, these are the sacrifices we have to make. Because, number one, they want to be elected. and number two, nobody wants to hear that they have to sacrifice. They don't want to hear that, even though it may be the truth, they don't want to hear it.
It's going to take some courage. It's going to take some people that maybe, I believe that the people that are out there that can do it are there. I just
mm-hmm.
think they need the American, this is one where the American, I know we always say the president and the Congress have to lead. This is going to be one where the American people are going to have to lead. They're going to have, we're going to have to come to our members of Congress and the government in general and say, okay, we know there's a problem. Tell us the truth. Don't give us the rosy look. Give us the truth, and then we'll know what we need to do. People are smart enough. And, you know, it's the brilliancy of democracy, and it's also the brilliancy of the way we're set up. People start businesses. They start
yeah.
saving more. They start doing things differently. You know, they act more in a community. I mean, things change because people understand there's a problem. We saw this with the hurricane.
Yeah.
People who had never spoken to each other, all of a sudden they're speaking to one another. They're sharing things. They're making sure everybody has a chance to eat by helping each other out. It's not a socialism. It's not a communism or anything crazy like that. But
right.
it's just making sure that we answer the question that that Cain was asked about, what he said about it. Yes, we are our brother's keeper.
Right.
And we have to start looking at the future of our children. And like I said, their children. We're actually creating, if you think about this, we're creating debt in such a way that our child's great-grandchild will probably have to pick up the tab.
Mm.
You know how the Bible talks about generational curses?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, it says we're supposed to, as a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but we're leaving a bad inheritance.
We're leaving a debt for our children's children.
This is bad. But I read somewhere else, and I don't know how accurate this number is, but it said that even if the tax cuts were to go, were not to be extended, it would mean on average maybe an increase, a decrease of maybe $2,500 a year per family. So it's like a couple of $100 per month that would make a difference, you know, in your paycheck. So you would get maybe a couple few hundred dollars less every month in your paycheck, which for some may be a whole lot, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like a huge amount.
It's not.
It depends.
It's not, and I want you to comparatively think about this. You're talking about $200 or $300 a month in your pocket.
Yeah.
Now, compare that to what you're leaving in debt. And I don't have the exact figures in front of me.
Yeah.
But if I'm not mistaken, the national debt right now equates to every single man, woman, and child and embryo, roughly about $27,000 and $33,000 per person.
Mm-hmm.
If each one of us paid that amount, the debt would be over. But that would require you going to our 9-year-old daughter and saying, give me $33,000. Now,
have it.
Now, right now.
Wow.
And that's what we're looking. So you're looking at, I'm going to save $300 a month, but I'm also going to tell my child, you're going to pay $33,000
right.
over the course of not only your lifetime, but your child. And keep in mind, that's increasing every single second.
Yeah.
Every second that amount increases of what an individual equates to that debt.
I would be willing to. I mean, I don't know if everybody would be willing to sacrifice $200 or $300 a month. I don't know, but I would be willing to compromise a little bit. I mean, even if it's $100 to $150 a month, to know that long term the debt is going to be taken care of. I don't know. Maybe hopefully Congress will be able to come up with some compromise. But I'd be willing to forego some of the tax cuts. Maybe not all of them, but maybe some of them. But I would be willing to do that if I knew that it was going to, if I knew they were going to be responsible, though, going forward with how they spent the money. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that would.
Habits.
The thing about it is how much are you going to willing to sacrifice? Because eventually
yeah,
they may start looking at your home, the tax credit for your house. They may start they're going to start looking at those things. And if they don't solve this, it's not going to be an option. It's going to happen anyways.
But the good news is there's always good news, hope in God. Like I said, at the top of the hour, the scripture, Mark 12:13-17, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God. As long as God is in control, whatever happens on December 31st, 2012, God is still in control, and we're going to make it through whatever happens.
Yeah, Happy New Year. But, you know, for your listeners out there, the most important thing is educate yourself.
Right.
And go and reach out to your member of Congress or your elected officials and let them know you're willing to listen. You just want the truth.
Wow. Well, see how that goes over. All right. I just want to remind everyone, my next show will be next Tuesday, November 20th. My guest will be Teresa Sinicola, the founder of the International Christian Mompreneur Network. She'll be discussing how to build a home business on a budget. So you definitely want to tune in for that, definitely. Remember, you can listen to my live show every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/TheMoneyMom. If you miss the live shows, do not worry. You can always listen to my past shows at themoneymom.org. And I also want to let everybody know I'm so excited. I finally published my book, Coming In and Going Out, The Guide to Making More and Spending Less. If you're having issues with your budget, if you want to know how to increase your income, how to spend less, maybe I should give a copy to the Congress.
Send one to every office.
So you definitely want to go online, themoneymom.org, and find out, or just email me, SherryGray@themoneymom.org, and find out how you can order your copy. It's only $8, and I did the number eight, because it is a number of new beginnings, and that's definitely what I give to my students and my clients, and also hopefully to the people that read my book, A New Beginning, because it's not your end. Where you are right now, it is only your beginning. Thank you guys for joining me. I'm going to leave you with the sounds of Move. I chose the song Move because this is what Congress needs to do. They need to move and do something about this thing before December 31st. But either way, no matter what happens, God is still in control. And thank you guys for joining me this hour. Thank you, Devon, for joining me.
Not a problem.
And until next time, this is Sherry Gray, the Money Mom. And I'll see you next time.